This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, hey there, everyone. It's Stormy Warren welcoming you on the bus at Country Thunder with executive producer Troy Volhoffer. Coming to you from Music City, we can't wait to chat with all of our friends in country music. Get ready for real talk about the state of the music industry, thoughts and insights from some of its biggest stars, and more than a few backstage stories from the 6 annual Country Thunder events held all across North America. I know I'll be sharing some great stories in a future episode. So buckle up and get ready for your new favorite podcast. Here's Troy.
Today we have Trevor Rosen from Old Dominion. Oh, some deep, dark secrets that he's going to tell us about today. Had a great conversation with Trevor. Please stay tuned.
So now.
Did you get a beer?
I did, yeah.
Oh, good.
PBR here.
Fucking
PBR. Bring me back to life. I mean, it's like, I never like to be a guy to cancel rights for any reason.
You can't cancel them, yeah.
But even especially, like, if not because I'm, like, hungover tired, but I was, like, sitting there going, oh, man, I got a right today.
So you ran into it.
But then, you know, I kind of got up and got around, and I was okay, so. And I'm glad I did.
Who did you write with today?
There's a guy named Jackie Lee. Do you know Jackie Lee?
No.
It's the first time I ever met him or wrote with him. Super cool guy, really good singer. And
Jackie Lee, was he a metal guy?
Was he what?
Was he a metal guy?
No.
He wasn't? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I think, I don't know his whole story, but it seems like he had a record deal for a while. Because when I saw him on my calendar, I asked my publisher, I'm like, Jackie Lee?
Right.
Like, is he still around? He's like, no, he's back in town and sounds like he got a new deal and he's firing it back up.
Old guy,
with Ashley Gourley. He seems 30s. Maybe.
Okay.
But he was cool. Super cool guy. It was me and him and Matt McGinn and this guy named Pete Best, who I don't write with either of those guys that much, or hardly ever, but it was good. We kind of floundered for a while and tried this idea for a few hours and I was starting to feel like we're not going to get anything.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then we were like, man, let's just like switch gears. And we're all like looking at our phones, you know, you got a million titles.
We need to turn the thing on.
Oh, yeah. Should we?
Oh,
is
we
it
are?
Going? Okay, good. Yeah. I don't know if you can hear me now. But, you know, it's like, you know, you have your list of ideas, and we're all scrolling through, and I'm like, I got a lot of titles. I'm like, they're all terrible. I'm like, I've looked at this list of titles for, like, 8 years, and I'm like, scrolling down. And then I said one, and they're like, that's cool. And we started talking it out, and then we ended up, like, we got about verse and chorus, but it's pretty badass.
It's a good tune.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, I'm glad we dug.
Did you write much with Ashley Gourley?
Only a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's my neighbor and I've never met him.
Where does he live?
He lives at the end, at the end of the road here, right at the very end.
I wrote at the house one time, not with him.
This is like songwriter row. Because I got Tom Douglas over here.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's at the end, but he bought the house off of Mark Miller from Sawyer Brown, who lives at the end of the road. But man, it's kind of cool. But I've never met Ashley. I mean, he's got a lot of number ones. Like,
he's got a lot of number ones,
right? And he's triple, always.
He's like triple play every year. Yeah. I don't know how he still finds the passion.
Explain the process of writing a song. So we have Trevor Rosen from Old Dominion here today. So excited to have you, brother. And, you know, it's been an honor, you know, to follow your career. I'm telling you, man, I remember the first time I saw you guys, you were playing a friend of mine's house. And it was a showcase, and it was freaking killer.
Oh, thank you.
And then I booked you on Country Thunder, and you had to play like three shows that day because you played the main stage. Then you played some
Firestone tent
VIP thing, and then you played the bar after the gig. Right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Sorry for working you so hard.
Hey, that's okay. That was back in the day when we didn't mind playing three times a day.
It was great. But, you know, that was years ago, and we've had so much fun together over the time. And, you know, I'm so amazed. I didn't realize until I think we had a party here one day, and there was a publisher here, and I think she was your publisher at one time, and I didn't have any idea of the depth of songwriting that you've done and the cuts you've had for different artists, not Old Dominion artists necessarily, but I mean not for Old Dominion, but for other artists.
Yeah.
And
Ree Geyer, you're talking about Ree, right?
Yeah, Ree. Yeah. And that's what she kind of educated me on that. And I was so blown away. Let's talk about your songwriting. Let's talk about the process first. And let's talk about how you get your songs to different artists like Luke Bryan and other cuts that you've had throughout your career.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get cuts. I will say
absolutely.
It takes thousands of songs, and you know, hundreds of good ones, hundreds of really good ones to try to get a cut. So, I don't know. I mean, I've been lucky. I've lived in Nashville 18 years now, and it took me a couple of years to get a publishing deal. But yeah, the process. I mean, obviously, it's a co-writing town, and for me, it's like, you know, you try out different people. Matt Ramsey, who is the lead singer of Old Dominion, was one of the first guys I became friends with.
Wow.
You know, and I found him, and we didn't even write that much in the beginning. We just kind of hung out and were friends, but. You know, you find your crew. You know, I found a couple people I like to write with. He was one of them. And it's like college for songwriting. You just move here and just start trying to figure it out and write a bunch of songs. Maybe you get a good one. Maybe some of them aren't so good. And then you just sort of find your click. Josh, I mean, he's a huge hit songwriter now. I mean, yeah. Written a ton of hits. You know, him and Shane McAnally, who,
yes.
You know, they were two of the guys that like I found not super early on. Actually, Josh, I was writing with him from the beginning, but when we met Shane and started writing with him, and we just sort of found our crew. It was like me and Matt, and Shane and Josh, and Matt Jenkins and Brandy Clark. Sort of had this little click, kind of, and we just found our people. We all felt like each other had something, and even though we weren't getting any cuts, we could tell that what we were writing was really good. So it was like kind of a snowball effect and a bunch of near misses. You know, it's like you get songs put on hold, you know, an artist puts a song on hold. I got a Kenny Chesney hold. And when you're new, you're like celebrating like, oh my God, I got
it's
a song
hold.
On hold. I got a Kenny Chesney hold or whatever. And you know, like you don't realize that like he's probably not cutting that song, you know, like there's a million songs get put on hold. So, but there's these little carrots that get dangled in front of you, you know, it's like, I had a hold, I almost had a Chesney cut, you know, and hopefully over time, you know, those little carrots get better. It's like, instead of the hold, you actually do get a cut, you know, and when you get the cut, that's great, but it doesn't do a ton for you unless they release that song as a single. So, you know, you sort of break the barrier and get a couple cuts and here you're going to get the single, but then you don't get the single. And then finally it's like when you get that first big single, like the dam breaks and hopefully it leads to more. For me, it led to more and I got on a little run.
So how many number ones do you have?
I think I'm up to like, I want to say 13. I should know this number actually. I mean, it seems like a number I should know.
I mean, but that's an amazing feat. So you came to Nashville as a songwriter. This is pre Old Dominion.
Yeah. Yeah. I moved here from Michigan kind of like to try to make it, you know, I wanted to be a country singer, you know, and to write. I mean, I came here as a writer, but I was trying to make it. I think like most people move here, whether they admit it or not, they wanted to be a star, you know,
of course.
And, you know, kind of like within a couple years, I'd say within 2 years or so, I kind of was realizing, like, I don't know about me trying to make it as an artist, but I love songwriting. And I started to feel like I was getting some momentum there. I never would have dreamed I was going to be in a successful band and do what we're doing. Cause I kind of like sort of hung it up in my mind. I was like, I just want to write, right? Hit songs. So the band thing was like pretty by accident.
It really was. Huh?
Yeah. It was like Matt and I hung out, you know, and wrote tons of songs, and his buddies from Virginia started moving here. And so he would showcase, he was, you know, trying to be an artist. And so Jeff and Witt, you know, our bass player and drummer, they were his buddies from Virginia. So they were like just backing him because they were his buddies. Right. And so the more I'd go watch him, I was a fan. So I'd go out, and then, you know, as time went on, he was playing more and more songs that we wrote together. So anytime he'd play one, I would just jump up and sing harmony. And it kind of like started to be a joke where, you know, he always jokes with the guys that they would be joking, like, is this guy in the band or what? Like, is he just going to stay on stage? But I just wouldn't get off the stage. I'm like, all right, well, now I'll just sing harmonies on your songs too, you know?
Right.
And it was, I would like, it hit a point where he was like, hey man, are you like going to come to all the gigs? Like, I mean, should we count on you to be there? I was like, yeah, man, why not? I'll just be in the band. And that's kind of how it started. We were just showcasing our songs and just having fun and playing for a couple extra bucks here and there, and would have never dreamed it would snowball into what it did.
It's amazing. I mean, we're on the day after, we're taping this on the day after of a massive ACM win, but last night was the CMA win.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are rolling. I mean, this reminds me of the Alabama era for Old Dominion. And I mean, those are big shoes to fill, but yeah. I think you guys have filled those shoes. And I mean, it's coming fast and furious. I mean, well, I think your biggest accolade, at least in my opinion, is, I mean, I've seen you guys, you know, like I said, we talked about earlier from, you know, when you guys were first starting out, but there was something that was really special about Old Dominion show was the entertaining, lots of energy. Great. It was a great show to watch live. Now, what do you attribute that to?
I think we're just really having fun. I mean, we're buddies. We've played so many shows. We played in bars. I mean, we'd go down and play college bar in Tuscaloosa, and it was just, we'd play for 4 hours, and it just, we genuinely are enjoying it. You know, even now it's like, it's not really an act, you know? I mean, so, you can tell when you watch artists, sometimes I can, where you just go, they've got every move choreographed out and they're doing well, you know, and putting on a show, but it's like, I don't know, when we get out there, you know, of course, you know, we have a set list and things like that, but we're just genuinely enjoying playing the songs. I think that's why it translates.
And who else writes in the band?
It's mostly, you know, Matt and I and Brad Tersey, the lead guitar player. We all three had publishing deals before the Old Dominion thing hit, so we've all written for other people too. But Jeff and Witt have become more of the process. They're not writers in the same way we are, but like, we just went to Asheville, North Carolina last month and booked a studio and just holed up for 3 weeks. And Shane McAnally was there with us, and a couple got, like, Josh Osborne popped in for a couple of days, Matt Jenkins popped in for a couple of days, but we wrote as a band, all five of us. Wrote all these songs. We'd write it. We'd show up at like in the morning.
It's like the old rock days.
It was.
It's like where, you know, the Kiss song is written by Kiss, not by Paul Stanley or Gene Simmons.
Right. And we had done that. Like, that's how we wrote Break Up With Them, actually. It was the only five-way where we all wrote it.
Yeah.
And it was our first number one, which was cool. But we wanted to try it again. We were like, we did it with Make It Sweet too, actually. We booked a studio in town just for a day. And we're like, let's just see if we can make something up in the studio and record it. And we did Make It Sweet and one other one off our last album. And it worked. So we really wanted to do it again, just like, maybe it's a waste of money. Maybe we get two songs. Who knows? Like, let's just live together for 3 weeks, like the old way, you know? And it was like magic, man. It was like we'd show up. I mean, first day, we were just sitting there like, all right, well, had some guitars, and there was a little living room in that studio, and we finished a song in about 2 hours, and we were like, well, let's go upstairs and record it. And so we popped in and cut it, and it was like every day it just fell out that way. We'd show up in the morning, we'd finish the song in a couple hours, We go upstairs and record it, and we ended up getting like 13 songs.
Wow, what a process. I mean, that's amazing. So do you play live off the floor for the bed tracks?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool. We're just all in our little booth. And
that's brilliant.
We all play as a band and then start to stack on top of there. So,
what a process. Well, I mean, obviously the fans, the industry are looking at Old Dominion as a very special artist.
Cause I'm stuck on you, you're stuck on me. I never gotta wonder where my honey be. I ain't saving all my sugar for a Saturday night. 7 days a week I got an appetite. Sunsets like a tangerine. Let's find a road we've never seen. Don't waste another mile or a minute not kissing me. Life is short, make it sweet.
I don't know exactly how we met, but it was somehow you came to my bus to maybe watch the Predators play in the playoffs 1 year at one of the shows we were doing together.
I think we were in Arizona.
Yeah, and Nevin Marquardt, who was an ex-Boston Bruin, was showing me his portfolio of how he's going to present himself as an investor in some new scheme he had going. And it was like, where is the beef? And the lady who used to do the Wendy's commercials. And then it was a fight with him and George McPhee, center ice at Madison Square Gardens. And I'm like, Trevor, you got to check this out. And remember we watched that video and we were laughing because he said, I've never lost a fight. He got his ass kicked that day. He got his ass kicked. And we sat down and hung out. And that was the first time you and I ever hung. And I find out that you played hockey and you played at a very competitive level and at the University of Michigan. And now I know because we play together. And I mean, I was like totally blown away by your skill level. Like, I mean, you could play at that level. I mean, you could play professional hockey. You could have played, I'm sure, at that.
I mean,
you've taken that step. So you had two places to go, music or sports.
And sports was number one for me.
It was.
Yeah, hockey was everything for me. Like, I did play in a band, and I loved music, and I wrote songs in high school. But, you know, there was part of me that was like, yeah, I want to, like, after I play in the NHL, like, I'll have a band too or whatever, you know. But hockey was everything. So, and that's... When I went to college, I played juniors, and then I went to Northern Michigan. I don't know if I've ever told you this whole story, but it's coming out now.
Let's hear it.
I played in Des Moines, Iowa, for the Buccaneers there in the USHL, and we won a championship, actually. Glory days. I scored the winning goal in overtime in the championship game.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, somewhere, if you dig on my Instagram, there's a video of me scoring it and throwing my gloves off and getting, you know, just
nothing like that. Is there?
Oh, there's no feeling nothing in the like world. That. The most natural high you can feel. But anyway, I came off of that year and I went to Northern Michigan, Division I school, very good hockey, you know, like, and I was just, so that was the plan. Like, okay, I'm going to come here and play for 4 years, get drafted. It was just what I wanted to do. But when I was up there, it was me and a couple buddies. Got caught smoking pot outside a dorm one night by a campus cop. I begged the guy. I begged him for like an hour. Like, please just don't call the coach. Like, please don't call the coach. Like, you're going to, like, this is my whole life. You're gonna ruin my whole life. And I thought I had him convinced. Like, he's like, well, I got to call it in.
He turned on you.
Because he was there because somebody broke some windows on campus that night. So he was there to investigate it. And we were just college kids, just standing outside the dorm, and the door opened. And there I was with a joint in my hand. And so he didn't really like, I don't think he really wanted to get us in trouble. But he's like, well, I already said that I found you three. And, you know, like, obviously I don't think you broke any windows. But, like, what, I have to call my superior. Like, I mean, you guys are here. Like, you wouldn't be here. And so I'm like, please, you know, I gave him the whole spiel, like the biggest sales pitch of my life. And I remember he goes, well, just go sit out there for a second. And I'm sitting there like, and I hear him like pick up the phone and he calls, and I can hear him talking. He goes, hey, yeah, it's me. He goes, yeah, no, I found three guys. No, I don't think they broke the windows. And there's like this long pause. I'm like, please, please, no, no, no. He goes, but when I walked up, I did find them smoking marijuana. I'm like, come on, man. Come on. And it was basically, that was the decision. It was like,
that was it.
They called the coach and I got suspended and then eventually kicked off the team. And it was it was like, you know, from the age 3 or 4, it was all I was ever going to do. And it really like was a brick wall. Like, you know, I couldn't, I called a couple other Division I schools, and they were like, yeah, you can come and walk on, but you have to sit out a year, so you're going to have to be good enough to make me waste a spot on you for a year, basically.
And, yeah, blackballed.
Yeah, and it was just, I was pretty dejected, and, yeah. and I ended up going to U of M Dearborn, which was club hockey. It was still good hockey, but it was, you know, I wasn't going to get drafted. It was pretty much, the dream was over.
Oh,
yeah.
Those words.
Yeah.
Those words. But it's, but I was so blown away. So just so our listeners understand what we have done. So we do this tournament each year. We raise money for the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital here in Nashville. And it's a pro-am kind of thing where it's, you know, professionals and Trevor's been, and I have been doing this for the last 4 or 5 years, and it's a great charity, and we have a lot of fun. But the first time I have a lot of has-been friends who are playing on our team, and they've all played in the NHL, all played, you know, professional hockey for years. It was their livelihood. And Trevor is the only musician actually on the team, and he's the best player. So we laugh our asses off about Trevor's skill level. And we had a bad year this year, but we won it last year. So
we did get smoked this year.
We got smoked this year. So we're putting the band back together for next year, and we're gonna have to eliminate a few players and make some adjustments to the roster. But I mean, Trevor is definitely the key to it all. But it's a blast, isn't it?
Oh, it's a fun deal. It's the best. I look forward to it every year. And it's always good too, because like it always coincides with us. We seem to tour Canada in January or February. So I'll go up there and I'll find ice time. I'll just be out on the ice. I'm like, I got to get in shape for this tournament. This is what I look forward to every year. So,
oh man, I love the fact that you called me. You're shooting a video in LA this year, and you called me and said, all right, dude, when are we playing? I'm taking a special flight to get there, make sure I'm there for the first game. And I'm like, wow. And I mean, your commitment is amazing, and it's so appreciated.
I took a red eye.
Those guys, I was like, freaking love you. Like, they do. Like, all those guys think you're, I mean.
Man, I love it. It's like, you know, obviously hockey was my life. Just sitting in the locker room and hearing the stories from those guys.
Some great stories.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Man. Y'all have just amazing stories. I could sit there all day and listen to it.
Been flying solo for so long, nobody's singing the harmony. Up there just me and my shadow, no bass, no guitar, no tambourine. And I found you like a melody, and you were singing in the same key as me. We had them dancing in the streets. I don't wanna be a one-man band, I don't wanna be a rolling stone alone, putting miles on a rundown van. Maybe we could take our own show on the road. I'll lay down the beat, you carry the tune. We'll get tattoos and we'll trash hotel rooms. Baby, take my hand, I don't wanna be a one-man band.
What are your plans for 2021? Where are you with your touring schedule? Well, and do you think, where do you feel you are?
I hope the light bulb gets switched on, stays on, because you know we miss it, and you know I can't wait to get back. We had the Chesney tour booked this year, and obviously they got wiped out, so the plan, all of that stuff has been moved to next year. So God willing, like everything keeps trending and you know okay and everything's gone and we can get back on the road, but I think we've moved pretty much every Chesney date to next year. So for right now the plan is Chesney tour 2021. So unfortunately, I won't be able to tour Canada in January, February. So we're going to have a training camp for the tournament.
Oh, I know. I agree with you wholeheartedly. Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, trying to get back to Canada myself just to see, you know, our festivals up there and hang out with the local media, but that's impossible at this point. So, but I think we're going to be all right going with what's going on with the vaccinations and the therapeutics. When we go back, we were going to do this thing in Iowa. So we're in June in Iowa, and Old Dominion is headlining it. And it's a really cool lineup. It's a very diverse lineup. It's Old Dominion. It's Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I'm short of some of the names. Big and Rich. Yeah, Big and Rich. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. That was my first publishing deal in town, was with John Rich.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's it was one of the, not to cut you out and derail, I was here for 2 years. When I first moved here, actually, I moved first. My wife was coming. She had to finish out her job. She had 2 weeks at her job in Michigan. So I came first, and she came to visit me a week later and told me she was pregnant. It was like, and I had already moved all my stuff. We moved here. It was like, we live in Nashville now. What are we going to do? So it was like, you know, she found a job. I was working at Best Buy, you know, and then about, it was coming up on 2 years, pregnant again with our second kid. And we're like, how can we do this? Like, I haven't gotten a deal at any point. Maybe we should move home. I was about to move home. And, there was a girl named Shanna Crooks that I would write a lot of songs with, and she had signed with John to his publishing company. And she was like, John has been asking me who I write these songs with, and you know, he wanted to like meet you. And I was like, oh, wow. And so it was almost to the day we were going to like move back to Michigan for a little bit just to kind of figure it out. And he had a party, and I ended up there, and he came up to me. He's like, hey, how's it going? You know, and I'm like, that's good. How are you? And he goes, man, I love the songs I've been hearing. Like, how you doing in town? Like, and I was like, man, I don't really have anything going on in town. I don't know what I'm doing wrong, you know? And he goes, you're not doing a damn thing wrong, man. He goes, I love your music. I want to work with you. Come back here tomorrow morning, and let's do a deal.
Wow.
It's like, holy shit.
So that was a great night.
Oh, it was. I mean, I partied. I called Amy. I was like, you're not going to believe what just happened. It was like a celebration. But there was, in the back of my mind, I'm like, is he hammered? Like, am I going to like
John's house on the hill?
Well, not the gigantic one. He didn't have that yet. He had the same street.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I going to wake up tomorrow and he's going to be like, who is this? Like, what did I say? Yeah. I'm like, there's no way. But he called me at like 7 a.m. You know, after we partied down, you know, the night, and he called me first thing in the morning, was like, hey, come by and have breakfast. Let's talk about terms.
So, I love those guys. Yeah. I mean,
so he kept me in town. It was a 3-year deal.
And you were going. You were ready.
Yeah,
you were ready to.
I was at the end of my.
The dream was over.
String. Yeah.
Jesus. Well, I mean, stuff happens for a reason. You know. I mean, it's amazing. I really like those guys. I think that Big Kenny's probably one of my best friends And but the band live is so dynamic, and I really find them entertaining. You know, they're a good band, you know, and I think they're very underrated, and I think that people need to wise up to what they got going on, you know.
Yeah, it's a great show, and they're survivors too.
They are survivors.
Yeah, there was a moment where I was like, I didn't know if they'd have another hit or whatnot, but they did. They clawed their way back, had some more songs on the radio, and put on a great show. So it's cool to see that you can do that. You know, because there's a lot of people that would have been in their position that would have just kind of fallen off and went, oh, we had our run. But they just continue to hammer it. So
it's so good to see. I mean, retro artists, and I'm not saying the Big and Rich is a retro artist by any means, but I'm saying, like, the retro artists that you see, you know, you look at Tanya Tucker, you know, who keeps popping up. It's part of our vocabulary because of our friend, right? But she's proven the fact that, you know, all of a sudden she wins 2 Grammys.
Yeah.
She lined herself. Brandi Carlile did a hell of a deal for her. And I'm not sure I'm going to have her on the show. And well, I'm going to ask her straight up what the deal is. But, you know, and they did whatever they did. And there was magic made. And all of a sudden, bang, right? And it's a resurrection of a career that has spanned over, you know, 40-50 years.
Yeah.
Tanya Delta Dawn, she was 14 years old, I believe, when she cut that.
That's insane. Yeah. I mean, it's just like the power of the music, I think. You know, I mean, well, there's a lot of moving factors, obviously, but you know, Brandi Carlile was hot. I think there was a moment that they captured, but yeah, it's like somebody like that's got such a history. If you just make great music, it's got a chance.
And you know, like, I mean, and from a live standpoint, all of a sudden her guarantee jumps up considerably from what it was previous to her, you know, double Grammy win.
Oh, right? Yeah.
I mean, everything changes. It moves the needle.
The
right?
defibrillator. I
mean, you might not sell more records. Yeah, you might not sell more records, but you definitely are making more money.
You're back in business.
Right? Yeah, you're back in business. You know, in real business. It's great to see. I love all that stuff, you know. And I mean, I've always been a fan of the, you know, the iconic guys who just keep working. And I was playing golf with Terry Clark and Megan Patrick about a week ago, and we're on like the ninth hole, and I look over and I see this guy on this right beside us, and I'm like, I know this guy. And it was just a moment of like, I'm not sure who he is, but I know him. I went, all of a sudden in my head, it came back. It was Tracy Byrd.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude, Tracy. And he's like, hey, man, how are you? And he's back. And he goes, yeah, Blake Shelton just added me to his tour. And I'm like, he's back.
Really?
He's on Blake's tour, you know? And I mean, for 2021.
Yeah.
And it was just a really moment of like, you know, hadn't seen him in 100 years, and he's making a comeback now. And I mean, there's a lot of 90s artists that are
like
coming
back.
Y'all
are booking a lot of people like, yeah, the 90s artists. It is awesome. And it's fun for us too to be out there and be on the bill with some of those. I remember last summer we walked out and watched, who was it? Diamond Rio. It's like I'd never gotten to see Diamond Rio before. And you know, you think like, part of me thinks like, oh, well, you know, like they were good years ago or whatever. And you stand out there and I'm like, man, this show is amazing. Like, it sounded perfect, and yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like a fine wine, right? Like, it just gets better with age. I mean, a lot of those artists,
it doesn't better. Always, I will say.
Good
but
point.
Go, people like that like, sometimes you see them, and you're like, man, they're as good or better than I remember them.
If they take it seriously.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot who take it seriously and truly hone their craft. You know, you look at Tracy Lawrence. I mean, I think he's an amazing artist. You know, I go out there, and he's got 18 number one hits, and his whole set's a number one, right?
Yeah.
It gets a little crazy after, but I mean, it's like, but it's a great hang and it's a good, but I mean, he can pull it off, you know, he's brilliantly live.
I was a huge Tracy Lawrence fan.
Me too. I love Tracy Lawrence and I love him as a friend. And, you know, you look at artists like that and it's fantastic. You know, Clay Walker's another guy who, I wasn't much up on Clay Walker, and I booked him and I watched his show and I was totally blown away. And it was like, kind of like hit after hit after hit after hit. And done extremely well.
You know? I think, there's definitely a thirst for that among the country music fans, for sure.
But, you know, you guys have cornered this market now. I mean, there's not a lot of bands left in country. It's kind of been a thing of, I think everything goes in cycles, and there's not a lot of bands. I mean,
you mentioned Alabama. Like, I was trying to think, because people ask us, oh, well, of all the bands, and I mean, I don't know if I should say this, but
you can say whatever.
Sometimes I'm like, which bands? Like, we're a band. What other band? You know, like, is there a Cadillac 3 there band? But it's like, we write all the music, we play in the studio, we do it all, we live down in a van together, and it's like, you know, sometimes what they call a band is sort of a loose interpretation, but
you guys are more of a rock story from a lifestyle standpoint. I mean, that was pretty damn crazy of how you guys actually made it. You're more of what a rock band.
A rock
band would have done it.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And pretty damn exciting, you know. And I mean, and it shows on stage, you see the energy between each guy in the band and the that you're all friends and you all get along. And it's not like, you know, back in the day when Eddie Van Halen, at least look at David Lee Roth and look at him like, are you out of your mind? I mean, there's none of that. I mean, you guys look like you're totally jamming, having a great time at a party on stage.
I mean, 100% we are. It's funny too, when we started to, like, we hadn't been signed yet, but when we were the buzz was starting to happen, it was like, we were writing all these hit songs for other people, and we had this band that was a good band, and we had these songs, we had like Break Up With Them and some of that in the bag recorded. We couldn't get a deal to save our life. And it was like, well, there's just no room for a band, you know? And it was like, that was a different thing. And then all of a sudden we had a hit and another hit. And then all of a sudden it was like, you'd hear around town, like the labels, like, yeah, we need to get a band. And all of a sudden bands were hot. You know, it was cracked me up. Like, that was the big black mark against us, was we were a band. But then once it works, and they go, oh, bands are cool, you know.
I like the band thing personally. I think it's really neat. I really admire your band for doing what you're doing. I mean, the band rights, they go back to, you know, the old days of rock and roll, when those guys used to sit in those studios and the whole band contributed to writing a song.
Well, even before that, it goes back to high school when you're in a basement with your buddies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you don't know what you're doing, but you're just making up music.
Well, there were
together.
No monetary splits. It didn't really
matter. Right. Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, and that's what I love about being in a band.
That's fantastic. So what is in the forecast for Old Dominion and Trevor Rosen? Where are you going? What's going on?
Man, you know, like, we're just going to keep, it's the trajectory. I mean, we just been riding this wave and we keep like kind of looking at each other going, all right, how long?
Did you pinch yourself?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like at the CMAs last night, it was like just looking around and we're in this small room.
You killed it.
It is weird, and Johnny Lee's out there singing along. We did the Johnny Lee song.
I know.
Singing along, and it's just like, and they talk, when I hear people say our name even, you know, in the monologues and stuff, it's like so weird to be one of the people they're talking about. It's like, this is the show that I always watched on TV, and now, like, we're in it. it's like if you watched Friends and they rebooted and you were on Friends.
You know? Exactly.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, and hopefully it just, you know, that's the thing. You ask where's it going to go? I mean, it's like, we love music. We're going to keep doing it as long as people keep showing up and wanting it. But hopefully we can do it forever, you know, like be like in Alabama and have a 30, 40 year career. And, you know, as long as we still love the music, I think that's what we've always trusted. Like, if we make music that we truly love and want to listen to when we get in the car, somebody else is going to.
You make great music. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You make amazing music. And the Old Dominion brand is now a brand, which is pretty impressive because there, at least in my opinion, there's only a few bands in country music that have ever made a brand of their band. And you look at Alabama, who is a true brand of Alabama.
Yeah. Need someone to draw a badass logo for us, like that Alabama logo. It's like the best logo in country music history.
Oh, I had when I first started out, I was like 17, 16 years old in Alabama. I got this phone call and I had scraped up enough money to buy 4 spotlights. And I get this call and Alabama is going across Western Canada. And I take my spotlights out. And we do Brandon, Manitoba. And Bill Medley from the Righteous Brothers is the opening act. Alabama have all these beautiful trucks. There's 3 or 4 trucks with the logo on the side. That great logo, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, pretty impressive, right? All the buses were matching colors and stuff. And I'm in this pickup truck that just barely works. And my best friend and I, Kevin Blevins, went out and we did these dates with them. And that was like my inspiration. I watched those shows. And the energy that those guys put into the venue was amazing. I mean, and you're doing exactly that. And I'm, you know, I'm as somebody who promotes shows, that Old Dominion is the fucking, whoops, did I say that? The best fucking buy ever. But it is because it's truly a great show. And I mean, we are in the entertainment business and there's a lot of artists who are great artists, not great shows.
Yeah.
Old Dominion is a great show.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate you saying that. You know,
that was a long-winded response. Sorry.
No. Hey, if you want, when you're talking about how great we are, you can talk as long as you want. No, I appreciate it. I mean, we do take pride in it. You know, like you said, it goes back to being the authentic, real band thing. You know, it's like if you want to be a good band, you have to be able to do it live. So, I mean, that's a great compliment. And you know, like using Alabama as an example, I mean, our management company is the management company that started with Alabama and brought them up. So we sort of have a good blueprint. We're in good hands.
You are in very good hands.
Well, the bus is rolling to a stop. Thank you so much to our guests this weekend. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen. We'll see you next week. Country Thunder. Country Thunder. I wanna look at this whole world with wonder. I wanna feel that country thunder.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.